How many of us, just like those parents, we love to save that best gift for last, right? As parents, it's like our statistic, the inside of us. We want our kids to just suffer as long as we can on Christmas Day because we're not getting presents. They're getting all loaded out. And so we wait, and when they think that the last present is unwrapped, but they didn't quite get that, and then what do we break it out, right? We love doing that. We love torturing our kids. Or is it just Christy Bramble? You guys do that too. Okay, yeah. So we do. We love that. We love that at Christmas time. And you think about it, isn't that kind of the theme of every Christmas movie? Right? They save the best gift for last, the grand finale. I mean, my goodness, Ralphie gets his gun, right? And at the very end, at the last moment, Buddy finds his dad and gets a relationship. Clark gets his bonus. Right? At the end, he gets his bonus. For the older crowd, Susie gets her house, right? Miracle. And certainly my favorite in the ultimate Christmas movie, Emmett and Ellis Otter get a job. Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. Come on, guys. Really? Thank you. Some righteous people in the crowd. I appreciate that. And I know for all of you ladies that are here today, if you're as hooked as my precious wife, every Hallmark Christmas movie. They have the same four actresses in all 50 movies, right? And they all end the exact same. They fall in love. They get married, right? But that's just the way it is. We love to save the best for last, the best gift for the end. And that's true for us as we've been in this Advent series over the last 4 weeks and unwrapped the gift of hope, the gift of love, the gift of joy, the gift of peace. And today we unwrap our final present, saving the best for last, the gift of Jesus. This morning we're going to look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, just a single verse today. And as you're finding that in your Bible or on your phone or whatever you have, I'll share just a little bit of information about Romans. First of all, we refer to it as the book of Romans, but really it was a letter that was distributed to the churches. Paul had penned this letter. He had so desired to go to Rome and to preach at the church there. And you have to understand, church in that time, it wasn't a big cathedral in the center of the city. In fact, it was dispersed. It was just a body of believers, and they would meet in different homes or places and not always even together at the same time. And so the disciples, the apostles, would send letters to be given to the churches to be distributed for doctrinal reasons, for instructions, or sometimes even for criticism. And so this was a letter that Paul had penned to the church at Rome. And he begins kind of dealing with some issues because the church had done what a lot of churches do even today, and that is they had come together and they had understood the gospel, but then as they formed as a church, they began to have some issues within the church and trying to understand and reconcile what it means to try to live a holy life within a sinful world. And so as you look through the book of Romans, chapters 1 through 3, Paul is painting this just ugly picture, if you will, of exactly what sin is. Then in chapter 4, he begins to talk about then what it means to have faith and to live a life of faith. He uses the example of Abraham here. And then as he goes into chapter 5 in his letter to Rome, he talks about righteousness or the imputed righteousness that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. So then when we finally get to chapter 6, he begins to discuss then, okay, taking all that in consideration, how then does a righteous man of faith reconcile this issue that we have with sin? And so this chapter 6 is kind of he's wrapping up the present, if you will. And the last statement, the last verse of chapter 6, verse 23, is kind of the bow on the top of the package. And let's read that this morning. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, just one verse this morning, and here it is, Christmas Eve. Let's just read that together this morning. Read with me. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, how about just as a Christmas present to me this morning, right? You recite it. I'll get you started. Ready? For the Amen. Great job, church. Y'all, we skipped Sunday school today, but we're just right into it here. Paul, in this single verse, he draws this dichotomy, this correlation, if you will, of a wage and a gift, the wages of sin and the gift of God. And he says there's a big difference there that they would have understood in that day. You know, today I'm extremely concerned. There's a growing population of people who have this socialistic ideology that says that everyone should just be equal. They should receive equal. No one should be given different rewards for different skill sets or abilities. Everything should just be a gift. You shouldn't need to earn anything. Everything should be giving to you. It was Margaret Thatcher that said the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money, right? But it's true for us today. I mean, we go all the way down to participation awards, right? We get just show up and we'll give you an award for participating. And that I'm not picking. That's fine for little ones. But there's a difference in earning something and being gifted something, isn't there? I mean, a participation award, that's a gift. You earn the starting job. You earn captain. You earn MVP. You go above and beyond. You push yourself to earn something. And you see, for us today, maybe that's hard to grasp, but in Paul's day in Rome, they knew what it meant to earn something. And that's exactly what he says. He says, the wage of sin is death. That word wage is just that. It's something that you earn. He actually uses a military term here. And it was used, if you were going to enlist in the military in that day, you would have a certain skill set. And depending on your skill set, you may be an archer, you may be an armor bearer, you may be in a chariot. Depending on what your abilities and capabilities are, you would enlist for a specific job. And so you would enlist for this specific job that you were trained for, and you would do so for a specific time. You know, you'll be 1 year, and you'll be on the front line. And because of that, this is the wage that you'll be given. This is what you're going to earn. It was a just and it was a fair compensation for what you were going to provide. It was a wage. And Paul tells us here, the wage of sin, what we earn for sinning, is death. That is just compensation for sinning against God. It's fair compensation from a fair judge and God. But it's also an absolute law. God gives us here, through the pen of Paul, an absolute law. The wage of sin is death. It's like gravity. It doesn't matter if you believe in it. It's true regardless of what you believe. It's an absolute law of God. Folks, I hate to break it to you, but we're not getting out of this thing alive. Right? Anybody 200 here? It's a truth. And we don't like to think about that. We don't like to live that way. You're thinking, my goodness, what a Christmas Eve message, right? We're all dying. We are. But it's just the truth. It's an absolute truth and law of God. Heard a story one time. There was a man who was up on top of a skyscraper, the very top floor, and he had fallen off. And as he was plummeting down, people that were on different floors at the windows as he was flying past, they could hear him saying, good so far, good so far, good so far. But eventually, the law of gravity, the law of motion, the law of mass, all of these absolute laws would come to pass. R.G. Lee said it this way in dealing with sin and with this law. One of his great sermons, the greatest sermons of all times, he preached thousands of times, and it was entitled, Payday Someday. You know, and I'm convinced, though, like that man falling out of a skyscraper, we're convinced that as long as we're going through life, it's good so far. It's good so far. We sin against God, but it's good so far. We don't receive Christ as our Savior, but I'm good so far. But eventually, the absolute truth becomes absolute reality. I had an opportunity. I had a friend, someone I had become friends with and had reached out to them. And I did so. We lived in close proximity and had opportunity to meet with them and share with them. And their life was just a train wreck in so many ways. They were constantly battling with different addictions. He was in jail at one point, and he lost his family and health and just all these issues because of the poor choices that he was making in his life. And finally, he called me one day, and he said, I'm moving across the state, all the way out of town, and I offered to help him. Let me help you move. Let me help you pack your stuff up, and we did that, and then I offered to ride in the U-Haul with him all the way across the state to deliver everything, and you know, all the relationship evangelism in the world. Eventually, I said, all right, it's game on now, right? We're going to be in a U-Haul truck together this whole time. It's time to get down to the brass tacks. And so on the way home, as we're in this U-Haul truck, I asked him a question. I said, let me ask you, do you believe in God? And he said, absolutely. And I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you. And I said, really? And he said, He said, when my two daughters, he had two different daughters, born at different times. He had two daughters. He said, when I was there and witnessed their birth and saw them come into this world, he said, I knew without a doubt there was a God. There was no doubt that there's no God. I can't imagine anyone who could see a child born and say there is no God. And I said, well, man, I agree with you. That's great. I said, well, let me ask you this. Since you believe there's a God, you must believe there's a heaven and there's a hell. And he said, oh, absolutely. I said, well, then if you don't mind me asking, are you certain when you die one day that you'll go to heaven? And he said, well, you know, I hope so. I said, well, man, that's kind of an important thing to just hope for, isn't it? I said, well, don't you want to know for sure that you're saved from your sins and that when you die, you'll be in heaven? And he went on, and the story goes on, but he was in church when he was younger and had made a decision and had actually grown up in different churches and had different experiences. But I'll never forget, he said to me, he said, David, what I don't understand is if I just made that decision, does that mean that for sure I'm going to heaven when I die, and it doesn't matter the choices I make in life? I can just do anything and live however I want. And I said, well, let me ask you, when you sin, and we kind of went through some of the things he had done, and it was evident in his life by choices he had made and some of the damages that had been done to his life and his family. And so when you make those decisions, I said, do you feel guilty about that? Are you broken? Do you ask God to forgive you? And he said, well, yeah, I don't like it. I said, well, you know, there is a conviction in the life of a believer that when we sin, we desire to repent, to turn from that. But to do so means that we begin to make decisions for God and not against him. And he said, well, so does that mean that it just doesn't make sense to me. He said, so I can just live however, it just doesn't seem fair to God. I said, David, let me ask you this. I said, when you make those choices to sin against God and you do those things that you know are wrong, how's that working out for you? Now, believe me, this guy, he's been in and out of jail. He's lost his family. I've been there. I had to dress his wounds one time when he got beat up by some people. And how's that working out for you, man? He said, well, it's not. It's horrible. I want what you've got. I look at your family, and that's what I want. That's why I want you to understand this. Every time you sin, you're choosing death. Not just ultimate death, but you're choosing to separate yourself from God's will. And so when we as believers sin, we're saying we want what the world offers in death more than the righteousness that God has for us in Christ. I said, now, they just imagine, had you made other choices, had you done as God desired, how much better would your life be today? And he said, you know, I've just never thought of it that way and committed at that time to begin to make choices for the Lord. But I think a lot of us, I think he speaks for a lot of people today that we're trying to reconcile sin. Sin is a part of our life as a believer, but we should choose not to choose the death of sin, but the righteousness of God and His will for our lives. But saved people still sin. This was so hard at the church at Rome. How can we still sin knowing what we know? But now we've got the great example today. Tomorrow is Christmas, right? If that's a revelation to somebody, and you know it's too late, maybe Walgreens has gifts, but tomorrow is Christmas Day. We're not going to make it through that without some sinful thoughts, actions, right? I mean, when your kids are little, you know, and you buy all those presents, and they're so cheap. Like, you can buy all kinds of stuff. They don't cost hardly anything. And the reason for that is they don't spend any money in production of those toys. Sometimes you open them up, and it's like a box of plastic bolts and nuts, and you're like up all night putting toys together and things, you know, or all day Christmas Day, and it doesn't come with batteries, and the stuff doesn't fit, and it breaks, and stressful, right? And then the kids get a little older, and they're not cheap anymore. And a little box like this costs you $400, right? And you're like, that's it. That's all. Unwrap it real slow, right? And then they do. And you can't even turn the thing on. You're just like, I don't know here, you know that. Or you get a gift, and they're working it for you, and then that's stressful. Even Christmas can cause us to sin. But notice what he says: the wage of sin is death. It's death. It's physical death, but it's also spiritual death because it separates us from God's will. But the correlation to that is this: but there's a gift from God. You see, where a wage is something you earn, a gift is something you can't earn. It's free, and there's nothing you can do to deserve it. He also says it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." They understood what a wage was. They understood in those days that they had to earn. Everything they had was something that they had earned and they had worked for. And they understood the wage of sin was death. And he said, but here's something that's a stretch for them in that day, but it's easier for us to understand today. But God has a free gift for you, and it's eternal salvation. One last question this morning. When is a gift a gift? When's a gift a gift? When does it actually become a gift? You know, sometimes we go to those parties and you draw a name out of a hat, right? And I may draw your name and say, oh, okay, I'm going to get them something. Is it a gift? No. What about I draw your name out of the hat? I look at you. I think about you and your personality and how much money that I'm going to spend or not spend on you. And I think, okay, I got the perfect gift in mind, right? Is it a gift? All right, I draw your name out of the hat. I think about you. I have that item in mind that I'm going to get you. I go online. I get a coupon. I go to the store. Is it a gift? I draw your name out of the hat. I think about you. I get my coupon. I go to the store. I take the item off the shelf. I place it on the counter. Is it a gift? Pull it out of the hat. Think about you. Get the coupon. Go to the store. Grab it off the shelf. Put it on the counter. Pay with cash, pay for the item, take it home. Is it a gift? Take your name out of the hat, go through all that, get the coupon, go to the store, grab it, pay cash, go home with it. I wrap it. I put a tag that says, to you, from me. Is it a gift? Several years ago, I was cleaning out my closet. And when I clean something, I'm like, let's like tear out everything top to bottom, right? And I do that about as often as the total lunar eclipse that we saw this year. But for whatever reason, I was cleaning out the closet. I don't sound like I'm Mr. Clean. I'm not, am I? But I was cleaning my closet out. I get everything out of the closet. I'm going to, and I take these shirts off. Every closet we've ever had, you got two rows for hangers. And there's like a shelf on that first one that means nothing because your shirts hang over it anyway, right? And so you're like, you can't put stuff there. A great place to hide presents for the kids, which now we can't do anymore, but you got that shelf. Well, I take these clothes off the top, and there on the shelf is a wrapped present. What is this? I get it. I look at it. To Christy from David. Merry Christmas. This is July. And I'm shaking it and I'm feeling it. I don't know if I gave it to her. I think I just unwrapped it myself. I said, what is this? The power of a praying mother. Do y'all remember Stormy O'Martin had like the power of praying wife, husband, dog, cat. She liked the power of praying everything, right? Well, I had bought this book. I had thought about her. And I had thought about our family. And I bought this book and I wrapped it and I put a tag on it. And I put it somewhere where I would never forget that it was. And 3 years later, I found it. Why do I say that? So you'll know what a buffoon I am, right? You know, a gift is not a gift until you receive it. It's not a gift until it's freely received. Matter of fact, if you go and buy yourself something, you can buy yourself something, but it's not a gift. It's not a gift until it's freely received. Romans 6:23 is an absolute law of God. The wage of sin is death. But the gift, the free gift that we can't earn, that we don't deserve, from God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. But we have to receive it. It doesn't do any good to leave Christ in a manger. It doesn't do any good to come to church. It doesn't do any good to pray. It doesn't do any good to leave the present on the shelf. You've got to receive it for it to be a gift to you. It's not a gift until you receive it.